Morning.
Morning.
It's good to be with you this morning. We're going to continue our study this morning from the book of John, and we're in chapter 11 from your scripture reading. One of the ideas that we had in chapter 10, you remember, Jesus introduces himself as I am the good shepherd, and the idea that he's the shepherd of the flock and takes care of us. And he says, I came that you could have life, or life to the full, or the abundant life. In fact, the idea of life permeates all the writings of John, both the gospel and the little letter of 1 John that we considered back in the summer. But this morning we're going to talk about more, what does that life mean? Does that life mean right now, the way we live today, tomorrow? Does it mean at the end of time when we go to heaven? Actually, I hope if you've gone through John with me, you see, when John talks about life, he means all life, total life, our life now that reaches eternity. But that depends upon the idea of the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection. And in chapter 11 of John, he really talks about that Jesus Christ introduces himself, I am the resurrection and the life. It's one of the scriptures most of the time most of us have heard. And we'll be talking this morning about the importance of that idea that Jesus is the resurrection. What do we think about with the resurrection of Jesus? And do we think about it too much? The resurrection of Jesus is one of those ideas that all Christians kind of come together with. Yet even though we come together with it, sometimes it's not as strong to us as it maybe should be. In the past, we've looked at the evidences for the resurrection. This morning, we're going to concern ourselves more with the importance of the resurrection through the Gospels and through the very story of Jesus, and the importance that the gospel writers had in thinking about the resurrection. Today, if you went out just to do a survey in America, most Americans believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, when they do surveys, it's something like 80 to 85% of Americans would believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, that's a very high number. But when you talk to them about what do you really mean by the resurrection, things change a little bit. Only about 40% of Americans believe the resurrection was only spiritual or symbolic. In other words, that Jesus rose in their hearts, but not a physical resurrection. Now, that's in the population in general, and you may say, well, that's, you know, people believe different things. But what do we think about within what we might call the Christian community itself, especially the Christian leaders? When they do surveys on Christian leaders, this is preachers and others within the Christian community in whole, the Protestant and Catholic, 33% of Christian leaders do not believe in a physical resurrection. And that might be a little hard to understand. And hopefully as we go through, we'll see if you look at the scriptures and look at what was taught by the apostles and Jesus himself, you see the importance of believing in the physical resurrection. And that's really where we'll be today. Talking about the physical resurrection, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. What he meant by the resurrection and what he means by life. That he came that we could have true life. That idea of true life, to me, is really the theme that goes through the New Testament, especially the writings of John. When John said that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. That life is the full, complete life. That without life, without Christ, we really don't have life. Our life is empty and really vain. But the life he gives us is the full life that even leads to eternal life. And this idea of eternal life is based upon the resurrection. If you look over to the gospel very quickly, the New Testament is divided into really three sections. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John refer to as the Gospels, and they tell us the story of Jesus and his teachings directly. We get to the book of Acts, and it tells us the Acts of the Apostles, the men that Jesus handpicked to carry his story to the world, and that's given to us in the book of Acts. Then you get past Acts, you get to the letters, and this is the letters that the Apostles wrote to the early churches that were scattered out throughout the world. And so, let's look very quickly at the idea of the resurrection in the Gospels, in the Acts, and into the letters. In chapter 28 of Matthew, we have the very end of the story that Matthew gives us. And Jesus is appearing to the 12. And listen how he appears to them in the end of chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. They didn't know who this was. But Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you, even to the end of the age." Now, the important thing I want you to see, definitely Jesus appeared to them physically. And the authority that Jesus has rests upon who he is. And that rests upon the fact that he was physically there with them. In the Gospel of Mark, sometimes it's been called the defense of the cross. Because if you think about the Gospel of Mark, as we've spoken before, we believe it was Peter speaking to Romans, and Mark wrote down basically the sermons that Peter gave to the Romans. And you think about a Roman crowd, and here Peter's preaching this man that was crucified on a cross. Why would we want to worship him? Why do we want to serve him? And Peter shows them that the cross represented not defeat, but triumph, as verified through the resurrection. And this is shown, too, in the book of Luke. If you look over to Luke, the very end of Luke, notice how Luke presents Jesus at the resurrection. In Luke chapter, the very last chapter, chapter 24, beginning in verse 36, as they were talking about these things, that's the apostles, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that is, as I myself? Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And then he said to them, and he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved with joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "This is written, that the Christ would suffer and the third day arise from the dead." Now, there's a number of things here that Luke brings to us that we're not going to cover in detail, but he definitely shows Jesus to be physically there. But not only that, but he then goes on and Jesus, it says, opens their minds to the scriptures. And the scriptures, he says, were the writings of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets, basically what we call the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament was written not by one man sitting down in a cave somewhere, sitting down and writing it. It was written by over 40 men over a period of over 1,000 years. And Jesus saying, all these scriptures point to me and point to the events that you have now witnessed, point to the resurrection. And so in some ways you could say that the very scriptures themselves hold together by the resurrection, as the resurrection was the proof of the scriptures, and the scriptures were proof of the resurrection itself. Now in a minute we're going to look at John, but look over to Acts. In Acts, it has a number of times Jesus appearing after the cross and even after the resurrection itself, where he appears to Paul. But in chapter 10, Peter, when he goes to Cornelius, this is a number of years after Jesus has gone back to heaven, but Peter tells the story of Jesus. And notice what Peter says in chapter 10 and verse 38. He says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all the oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead." And so they were witnesses and they knew him because, why? They had lived with him. Not like they just seen him, but they had ate with him and slept with him on the side of the road when they traveled around. They knew this man. And now they knew him and were witnesses to him. But look over with me to Romans. In Romans, Paul brings out the real facts of how everything holds together by the resurrection. Romans has sometimes been described as one of the most theological books, and it really goes through what our Christianity is and what it depends upon. But notice how Paul begins this book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is one of the ideas that we've already seen in Luke. How all the Scriptures are dependent upon this, and this is dependent upon all the Scriptures. They're all together. The Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was ascended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we can talk about the cross, but what Paul says, how do we know that Jesus was truly the Son of God as he declared himself to be? We know that by the resurrection. The resurrection is that thing that holds everything together and proves that Jesus was truly the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole chapter is devoted to the cross and mostly to the resurrection itself. And we're not going to hit the whole chapter. We'd be here probably a little longer. But in chapter 15, let me hit a few of the verses, because it once again shows the primary importance of the resurrection. In chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "For I delivered to you that of first importance." In other words, this is the very basis of what you believe. "And that I received, that Christ died for our sins according with the Scriptures." Most of us like the idea of the cross, that Christ died for our sins on the cross. "That he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas," that is Peter, "and then to the 12. So once again, the idea of the resurrection is important because it's one of the fundamental things that goes back to tie the Scriptures all together. And so if you say that you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible, what Paul is saying is the whole Bible comes together in this idea of the resurrection of Jesus. If you look on down to verse 12 through 14, Paul goes on down to tie Jesus' resurrection to our resurrection. Most of us like to think about that someday we will get to heaven. Paul brings out the idea, well, the very idea of you going to heaven depends upon that Christ went there first. Look at what he says in verse 12. "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain or empty." And he goes on down and talks about this even more. But it's a very important point what he brings out. We like to think about someday we will be raised, be in heaven. Paul brings out the idea, if you want to think about you being raised, that depends on Christ. And then he goes on down to another point. He says, you think you can preach Christ and not believe in the resurrection? If you do, you're not preaching anything. He says your faith is vain or empty. In other words, Christianity doesn't make any sense without the resurrection. It's vain, it's empty, it's hollow. Everything comes together and becomes solid with the idea of the resurrection. Look finally over to 1 Peter. There's many other verses, but in 1 Peter, Peter brings out this idea. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We have a living hope. Where? How? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything comes through this idea of the resurrection. So if we have no resurrection, we really have no faith. We have no hope. We have nothing. So it's always amazing to me that somebody says, I'm a Christian leader and a Christian teacher, and I don't believe in the resurrection. It's like saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Christianity. Because all Christianity comes back to the idea of the resurrection of Jesus. Now look with me at our lesson text from chapter 11. And Jesus brings out the idea of him being the resurrection and the life. Beginning of chapter 11, Jesus learns that Lazarus, his real good friend, is very, very sick. Mary and Martha write to him and tell him that Lazarus is sick. And Jesus hears of this, but he doesn't go immediately to Bethany where Lazarus is. He tarries a couple days, stays there. And a couple days, then he tells the other disciples, we need to go to Bethany and see Lazarus. And the disciples immediately say, Jesus, the last time, Bethany is just right outside Jerusalem, so the last time you were down there, they almost tried to kill you. They tried to stone you. We really ought not go back there. And Jesus said, yeah, we're going to go back there. And the disciples, knowing, one of them actually, Thomas, says, okay, well, I'll go back and die with you. Of course, Jesus was going to die on the cross there in Jerusalem in about a week. But then you get over when he actually gets there. Look with me at verse 17. Now, Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the disciples had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning the brother. Now when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now look at what she says to him. She meets Jesus coming on the road, and she says, Jesus, if you had just been here, if you hadn't waited to come, if you hadn't tarried, Lazarus, my brother, would still be alive. I know that God will give you whatever you ask. He says, I know that you didn't come. The reason you didn't come was because you couldn't have done this. I know God was with you, that he gives you whatever you ask. So why didn't you come? Have you ever had something happen in your life and you sort of ask God, why did you have this happen this way? That's really what Martha's saying to Jesus. Why did it happen this way? Jesus, if you'd just been here just a few days sooner, and we wrote to you, you knew that what was happening. If you'd just been here a few days sooner, my brother wouldn't be dead now. He'd be alive. I think sometimes we ask the Lord that, Lord, why did this have to happen this way, Lord? Jesus doesn't really answer her directly, but he just goes on. And listen to what he says. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Now notice Martha, what she says. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. How often have we heard at a funeral somebody saying, well, our loved one is up in heaven looking down on us now? Have you ever heard that said at a funeral? That's not what Martha says, is it? We don't go to heaven when we die. We sleep in the Lord waiting the resurrection day. Everything happens on the day of resurrection. And that's what she says here. Paul talks about the resurrection day. Peter talks about it as in our Bible class this morning. We wait, we are asleep until that day of resurrection. And Martha knows that. She knows that one day my brother will be alive again at the day of resurrection. I know that, Jesus. But that doesn't mean I don't hurt now. I've just lost my brother, and I'm hurting. That's where Martha is. Most of us have lost a loved one or a good friend sometime, and you go to their funeral, and you may know that, yes, someday they're going to rise again at the resurrection. I know that. Doesn't mean we don't hurt now. And Martha's hurting. Notice what Jesus then says to her. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, as your brother Lazarus has just died, yet shall he live at the day of resurrection. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. We have that truly eternal life. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That's an amazing thing for her to say at that time. Because sometimes when things happen to us and it makes us sad, it brings us down low, we may question God a little bit. She sort of questions Jesus when she said, Jesus, why didn't you get here sooner? You could have come just a couple days sooner. But when Jesus brings her down and said, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are truly the Son of God. Now look with me at the next few verses. Mary comes out and speaks to him. But then Jesus goes on to the tomb, and that's who he's with in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, that is Mary, now the other sister, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. We don't always think of Jesus as being like we are with our emotions. In Luke chapter 12, when Jesus is getting ready to go back to Jerusalem for the last time, he knows he's going to the cross. It says, I'm greatly distressed because of the baptism I'm about to undergo and how I wish it was already here. He knows the cross is a couple months away, and it says it distresses him. Jesus felt stress. He felt, at the end of the day, he was tired. He felt hunger. Here, he feels sorrow. Sometimes I don't think we think about the emotions that Jesus felt. We make Jesus into sort of a Superman, a God on earth. When Jesus was on earth, he was the Son of Man. He was just like us. He felt the same things we feel. He felt happiness. He felt sorrow. He felt it when the disciples, many of them in John chapter 6, turn and go leave him. He felt that. He looks over the multitude of the crowds and felt compassion for them. Often it talks about when the sick came to him, he felt sorrow and compassion for other people. Jesus felt all the emotions that we feel. And we see that here at the tomb of Lazarus. He felt the sorrow of Lazarus being dead and the great sorrow that Mary and Martha had because they had just lost their brother. It goes on to say Jesus wept. We don't think about Jesus weeping, but yet it says Jesus wept. Look on down. Verse 35, Jesus wept. So the Jews said, how he loved him. And some of them said, could he not have opened he who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again. Some translations said he trembled in his soul. He felt what was going on around him. Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave and the stone lay there. And he takes away the stone, and most of us know the story. He called to Lazarus, and Lazarus came out after being dead for 4 days. But the point of the story I want you to see with me is that Jesus felt the same things that Mary and Martha felt. He was truly the Son of Man. He was just like us. He felt their sorrow. He felt their despair even on losing their brother. Martha knew that Lazarus would rise again at the resurrection. She knew the teachings of Jesus. But that doesn't mean she didn't feel it at the funeral, how sad she was at losing one close to her. And so Jesus brings out the idea in this section, maybe more than any other place in John, of what life in him is truly all about. If you go back to John chapter 11, verse 25, look at the question that Jesus gave to Martha. And think about it to yourself. Do we believe this? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's where we are today. Do we believe that? Not just that life here came from Jesus and it's a better way to live, but that he is the resurrection, that he promises to those who believe in him eternal life. That's what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, and most of us will die unless we're here when the Lord comes, yet shall he live. We have that hope in the resurrection. As Peter says, it's a living hope kept in heaven for us by the very power of God. Based on what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything comes back to his resurrection. And it's why Jesus can say, I am the resurrection and the life. This morning, think about your own life. Do we believe that today? Do we believe that Jesus is truly the life and the resurrection, that all life flows from him and eternal life are for those who believe in him? I believe that. And I believe that all who believe that will live eternally with our Lord. This new year is not a better time than to give your life to Christ if you have not done that in the past. Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life. For all who believe and come to him, he offers eternal life, the free gift of God for believing and following after him. And for us who believe in him and have placed him on in our hearts and have been baptized into him, have arisen to walk the new life, we need to set that example this year of living truly for him and believing as Martha did. Even when things happen to us, like the death of a loved one, we can stand with Martha and say, I believe that Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.